At this time, I'd like to call to order the Stanton City Council meeting, the successor agency, and the housing authority, and a joint meeting of this evening, December the 13th at 6:30 p.m. If you'd please all join me in the pledge. Xenia, please lead us tonight.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, please call roll.
Mayor, Council Agency Authority Member Ramirez?
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Van?
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Warren is Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairman Taylor?
Here.
And Mayor Chairman Schauer?
Here. Okay, at this time, we have no special presentations or awards, and so move on to the consent calendar. All items on the consent calendar can be taken in one motion unless somebody wishes to pull something or somebody would like to have a discussion from staff. Was there any request from the audience to pull anything? Okay, thank you. Okay, so we're going to go items A through K. Yes, ma'am. Nine B? Sure, why don't we do that right after the consent calendar? How's that? Okay.
I'd like to pull six L.
Okay. Okay, is there a second for the balance?
Second.
Okay, Madam Clerk, please call roll.
Council Agency Authority Member Ramirez?
Yes.
Council Agency Authority Member Van?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairman Taylor?
Yes.
And Mayor Chairman Schauer?
Yes.
Just a quick question on L. That contract is for how long?
Six L is a professional services agreement for data mapping of the COVID-19 pandemic impact on the state.
Thank you. I'm looking at the Assistant City Manager Sue King. Question. I believe the contract is for a not to exceed amount of $75,000, but I'm not sure the term.
It's a over the period of ARPA funding period.
Okay.
It's built on
got it.
Before you move it, I did have a couple questions on it. I was going to also discuss it. Thank you. So basically, the reason for this study is to...
Thank you, Mayor. After consulting and participating in various ARPA webinars and discussions, and more importantly with BBK's Anna Schwab, who is the Director of Governmental Affairs, they have provided very clear guidance as to the use of ARPA-eligible projects in Stanton. What is very clear is that these ARPA funds are highly susceptible to audits, whether it's the annual reports that will be due, the first one in April, or every year thereafter, and long after ARPA funding ends, December 31st, 2024. So given those fiduciary duties and responsibilities and where we are to allocate those funds, they have to be justified and documented. And when it comes to justification and documentation for those Stanta ARPA projects, they must show that services and programs were provided to those in the community who were directly impacted by COVID-19, the pandemic, and any economic results or impacts, negative impacts. So the proposed ARPA dashboard by AdvanceOC will have built in an ARPA reporting code tools with public interface and maximizing impact and engaging community and facilitating really collaboration. And really what this means is that with the Department of Treasury's interim final rule, which states very clearly that you are to plan and analyze the data on the impacts of COVID in our community. And ARPA through AdvanceOC is the community is speaking back to us and how they were impacted. And AdvanceOC is uniquely qualified They actually are here to field any questions that you may have.
You know, as far as the data that we require to report so that we can get make sure that we're spending the money correctly, you know, this type of data for this, because we're such a small city, is very readily available with the demographics from Cal State Fullerton. That's number one. Number two, Orange County Health Department has finally got their act together, and they have some really good records, not only on vaccination, who's vaccinated, what areas or regions are vaccinated, and they have a list of all of the people in our community that were affected by it. Also, the state has kept some really good records. To be honest with you, I would rather spend the $75,000 and give it to the people that we're going to be studying that need it. You know, sometimes when you try to justify what you're doing, that justification is pretty easy. It's very easy to look through the programs that Xenia has put together, the people that have signed up for food. We know who the needy people in our community is. We have a collaboration of only over 100 members. They all have all lists of who needs what. We already have a great list of our business community, including those people that live in our city, so we know who those folks are. So I'll be perfectly honest with you. What we're going to end up doing is we're going to end up paying $75,000 to probably an awesome group of people that are going to take the data from the same database that's available to us now and then present it to us in a package so we can use it. That being said, I'm really not in favor of this, not the fact that it's something that will assist us in making our determinations, but I feel that because of what a great job we have done in distributing our resources, our protective equipment, you know, giving out food, we've had vaccination sites in our city. We have right now testing going on. We have records of all that. And so to me, I'd rather see us take the $75,000 or whatever the cost is and give it to the folks that we're going to be identifying. And so that being said, I'm not going to be supporting this. But anyway, thank you for your report. Alice?
Mr. Mayor, if I may, I respectfully disagree with your statement. I've worked with the OC Equity Map that Advances and produces, and I've looked at the data that they've compiled, and sure, that data is available for free in other places like the county, but it's difficult, I think, for staff to compile that data specific to Stanton. And if you look at the data that Advanced OC provides, it's by census tract, you know, it's by neighborhoods, and it's in a very digestible format. And it'll, you know, even go down to things like which neighborhoods have higher environmental quality, which neighborhoods have access to nutrition and basic medical care, which neighborhoods have, you know, higher levels of personal safety. Really specific, you know, neighborhood information that I don't think our staff has that expertise in a digestible, easy to understand format that's readily available to public, and I'm not sure if we have the staff that we can dedicate to doing that. And if anything, what I don't want to do is assume that we have all of our bases covered and we can pinpoint which are the most needy communities and invest resources there when we can have a data-driven alternative. And I think that if this information is available to us, we might not use the whole $75,000. I think we're allocating that much, and I believe it's being paid on an hourly basis, depending on the need that we have for this data. So I don't think it's a big price to pay, especially if it's not impacting our general fund, and it's money that's coming from ARPA for this purpose. And I would invite you to check out their OC Equity Map. It's a fantastic tool. I'm so impressed by how precise the data is and how it goes into specific neighborhoods. Even my district too, I've knocked on every single door that I could in district two, and I didn't know this. And I think it's very telling about the amount of effort and research they've done to gather this information in a very digestible format. So I think it's important for us to consider investing in data-driven technologies and making decisions based on the data that's available to us.
And I understand where you're coming from, but knowing my community as well as I do, I know that right now we have organizations in our city that already, as an example, we're giving our toys out with Santa Sirens. They know exactly who they're going to. They know exactly what portion of our city needs to have that. They know the exact residential area, and they know the people, the recipients. So to me, if we were Garden Grove or Anaheim or some larger city, I understand where you're coming from. But I think within our own structure, we have a really good grasp of who needs what different services. So if we spend $75, $1,000, which I hope not, that's a lot of money that we could actually be giving to the residents. And I'm telling you right now, the amount of money that we're going to be able to give out is probably a relative proportional to the $75,000 we're going to spend for the study. I don't know how much we've allocated for this. I don't know whether it's more or less, but I do know that any additional funds, if we had $75,000 and we give, a few hundred dollars to each one of the families that needed that, I think that would be a better use of the money. That's all I'm saying.
Respectfully, Mr. Mayor, I don't know if you recall, but in a previous council meeting, we allocated over, $200,000 to do a community needs assessment because we admitted that we don't know what exactly our communities and we needed to collect feedback. So sure, we represent our communities, but I don't know, perhaps we should hear from a staff member, like Director Lodavia, see if she thinks there's any value in having this service. I assume that given that it was a staff recommendation that they do see value in having advances to provide us data.
Well, before you do that, may I interrupt? Do we have the ability to do what we need to do to get this within house? I mean, is it something that we can, without the help of our local charities, with our local collaborative? I mean, to me, we have a great structure already in place of open communication in this area. I mean, within 2 days, we know who needs food. Within 2 days, we know who needs shelter. Within 2 days, we know who needs assistance. So my question would be not so much, it's kind of a reverse question. Isn't it something that we can handle ourselves?
It's tough. They have access to the data, existing contracts with some of the providers, for example, Cal State Board, or even the Orange County or County of Orange. Do we have capacity in-house right now? For something like this, I would venture to say no, which is why the contract is before you tonight. There's no surprise that we are extremely busy right now with all the development that's occurring in and around town and the events that we put on. Having this map would be very helpful to the assistance of the city manager as well as the community services department to drill down into the data that we need. I've often thought of it even as sort of an insurance policy that we'll use right through BBK and Anna Schwab to help justify some of the expenditures that we have. So we'll use the twofold. Councilmember Van is right. We've allocated roughly $200,000 for the community assessment. A couple meetings ago, we approved a contract with Kowalski research firm to conduct the citywide survey. So that is ongoing. And we're, I believe, drafting the survey right now and polishing that up. And then we'll use this data to help augment and determine future programs and policies that we can assist.
Is the Probolsky research going to provide the data that would enable us to do the project?
It's a different set of data, I would say.
What's the difference between mapping? I mean, he's going to do the same thing. He's going to give us the geographic areas.
He's not necessarily geographic areas. He has a small sample size that is being distributed to the community. I want to say 300 or 400 surveys. This will use indicators, and Advance and Seek can likely talk to it best on what they'll do and the data that they will pull, but they'll drill down into the census information and other studies that are out there already. If you want to invite Advance and Seek up here, and then
yeah, I do. Yeah. In fact, if they would come up, what I'd like for them to do is to tell me basically why we need the program and how it's going to work for us, and what advantages it has to maybe getting a Kowalski report, or getting a report from OC Health, or getting a report from Cal State Fullerton Demographics, the state of California, and some of the other agencies we have. Thank you.
Hear me? Okay. I feel like I'm in a Verizon commercial. Thank you for having me tonight. My name is Katie Calvota, and I am the president of Advance. We are a public charity based here in Orange County. Our founders are longtime community volunteers who have done a lot of the work distribution services to different programs. And earlier you mentioned the great work of the county and the healthcare agency getting their act together with their data, but that was powered by us. So the work that you see at the Orange County Healthcare Agency, the main work that we do on behalf of the county in order to get that data in a format that can be helpful. So what you may not know and what the community may not know is that we develop these dashboards for them so that they can manage the pandemic have, and that they have been able to deploy mobile pods to communities in order to be able to test vulnerable communities who are susceptible to COVID. And as a result of that, we have been able to make milestones in terms of testing, in terms of penetration to communities that are vulnerable, get outreach into communities in different languages, those types of things. And to date, I will say that we have a number of different agencies across the county who are using our services, and we do it at tremendously discounted rates because we do this in the private sector. This is our expertise. I personally have been doing data science work for 20 years, and we do this and we charge much, much, much more for this service that we are contemplating for the city of Stanton. And we do it at a discounted rate because we understand that we need to be partners. To be partners with the county in order to deliver the best service for our community.
Okay, we've given you a not to exceed, I believe, is that correct? So because you've already gathered, or actually have, in fact, you tell me that you're the person that was actually responsible for getting some of the initial data. What is your, in your plan for the city of Stanton, where do you feel, where are costs going to be? What's the allocation you're going to need? What's the time frame? What's the program going to encompass?
Now, we're here for the long haul. I mean, ARPA has designated time frame, but we understand that some of the needs are going to be articulated during ARPA, but then even after ARPA, right? Policymaking, it's a continuous process. And what we want to do is be able to be partners with the city in whatever needs that they need. So when we set out that number for a not to exceed amount, that is not to say that we expect to spend that down. We try to do it as inexpensively as possible because we understand that these dollars are, although they are a great resource to the community, they are scarce, they're limited. And we want those dollars to go as far as we can go with those dollars. And so in that respect, we have given the city of Stanton a proposal on an hourly basis for a team of people, not just one person, but a team of people at a very, very low discounted rate so that we can offer these services to you. Oftentimes, cities like Stanton, 40,000 people, et cetera, are resources like this. Usually we work with big cities, right? Big counties, because they can have that in their budget. To develop strategies and technology like this. And oftentimes, smaller cities don't get that benefit. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to make it super affordable so that your city, a city that can, based on this dashboard, can use it for years on end, not just for ARPA, but for years on end because we're establishing a baseline city.
So basically, you're gonna come to us with a baseline, I believe. And then at that point in the future, we'll be able to draw and update that baseline. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. We'll be able to compare. Like what we did for the county is we did a pre-COVID and a post-COVID analysis, right, of the county. And I will tell you that based on our analysis, Social Services Agency, for example, reached out to us and said, tell us where the food insecure are in Orange County. They are a service agency that has a multi-million dollar budget. Works with Second Harvest Food Banks and all these other food banks that probably serve the city of Stanton as well. They themselves don't.
Is part
The data is so vast, right? And it's very, very hard to aggregate. And this work is very labor intensive. You don't have the skill set, you don't have the technology to pull it all together. It can be very, very expensive to do. So that's what we're offering as a service. This is our civic service. This is our volunteerism for community. And we'll try to do this as efficiently and as inexpensively as we can for you.
As part of the program, you're going to help us with the outreach to get the message out to the community?
We can help you formulate a strategy for outreach. We don't have the bodies to actually go do the outreach, but we can give you the intel, intelligence of different communities, demographic breakdown is, how you can strategize and do in-language outreach to folks, but they are in different age groups, the messaging will be different. That type of business intelligence is what we offer.
So do you have an established outreach program that would be a template for the city then that we could use?
Oh, absolutely. The one shining example is the vaccine pods. So before, we work with Orange County Fire Department, at Central for the vaccine effort. And what we did was we created this vulnerability index. Fire Department, as well as the healthcare agency, took that data, and they went into neighborhood by neighborhood and put up mobile pods and staffed it with people, speak the languages, who knows more information about these neighborhoods, because we're able to offer specific data to them. Right. And that is our shining example of how efficient government can be if you're given the resources, right? To do the work.
Okay, thank you. And just one quick question. Was this a sole source, and did we put out an RFP?
No, this was a sole source contract given their unique experience.
Okay, so there was sole source notice.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, bring it back to the council for any other questions.
Nope. I'll move it. I'll second it.
Roll call, Madam Clerk. Yes. Okay, we are now done with the consent calendar, and we are moving on to our public safety interviews. First of all, we're going to do a quick switch on the calendar, so we need to ask the council, and we take a vote on that, right, to move it? Okay, is there a motion that we switch it up, move it up?
Motion.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Is that okay with you, Madam Clerk? Okay, let's go.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council members. We have before you this evening City Council appointments to fill one vacancy on the Public Safety Commission. For the city's municipal code, it requires a submitted submission of applications prior to appointment. The City Clerk's Office has received a total of 5 applications, and this evening 4 applicants are present. The appointment process will go as follows. Each applicant will be called to the podium. The applicants were sent via email 3 questions to answer as part of the interview process. A copy of the applicant's responses have been provided to you this evening. In addition to the emailed questions, the interview process will then be open to the City Council should each of you have any additional questions to ask the applicants. Once the interview has concluded, the applicant will be asked to have a seat, while the next applicant is called to the podium for his or her interview. Once interviews have concluded for all applicants, I will then proceed with the nomination portion of the process. Mr. Mayor, Council, I will now begin with the interview portion of the process. At this time, I'd like to invite Mr. Alcolonio. He told me I can call him Paul. Thank you, sir, for being here this evening. Council, you have the 3 questions before you. Take a look at that.
You
ask
Mr.
Paul any other questions that you have.
Good afternoon, Mayor, and good afternoon. Good
on public safety as it is today.
Thank you very much, Mr. Council Member. My name is Apollonio Malinisa, just call me Paul. Technically, I'm new in Stanton, but my family has been living in Stanton since 1989, my wife. I just came in the, from the Philippines in 2016. And but from that date, even our families before, we were very active in community gathering in our street. In fact, every year during every July 4th, only our street in the community, if you're familiar with MacDuff Street, that's across Hollenbeck Park, in that community, we are the only street that has every year the households gather in the street and everything. And since 1989, during my late father-in-law and my mother-in-law, until now, we already established that network in the community. And I feel that is very effective. We are keeping an eye on each house, and we have a very good network in our street. As for my experience way back, even in my application before, I was very honest that I'm new here. So in my experience that I'm telling you right now is my experience going back to my country. I am a member of the Provincial Peace and Order Council, which serve as the advisory board in the local government unit. And we do some consultations in all stakeholders, student, business sectors, and even the Parents and Teachers Association. What are the policies and programs that the local government can provide through the through developmental programs, focus group discussion and everything. And the end result is for us to establish a very good measure to address the existing problems in our community. And aside from that, I also put it in my in that one-page paper that I have an experience as member of the dangerous boards in the Philippines for almost 5 years. So in that, we had coordinated with different Asian member countries in order to lessen the supply of the drugs being entered into our country. So, but I'm saying in a bigger picture, but we always break it down to smaller programs and projects that's palatable to the community, especially the students and the business sectors and the community as a whole. So I had an experience, modest aside, Mr. Mayor and members of the council, I had an experience in coordinating with different sectors in the community. I'm able to create and establish networks with different organizations in order to get some informations that will help the committee to form a programs and developmental programs and policies that will aid the council in providing good measures to address the public's to address those issues in the city, Madam Council Member.
I'm extremely impressed by
thank you very much.
Your history and your experience. I think that you have a really unique skill set working with dangerous drugs boards and the National Youth Commission. I think that's a huge skill set that I don't currently see on our public safety committee today. I'd like to understand, because I know that you're saying that you've lived in Stanton since 2017 and that you have experience, gathering information. It sounds like you already have a strong network, maybe like a neighborhood watch of some sort. Since you're
that's correct, Madam Council Member.
Has been living in the Hollenbeck neighborhood since 89. From that information network that you belong to, can you give me any sort of insight into maybe the public safety concerns specific to your neighborhood and maybe strategies you might have to address them?
Well, I remember, it's more on the social media network, Madam Council Member, because we're not allowed to go out because of this COVID thing and everything. So it's more on the social media that we are, you know, we're sending pictures and everything, that beware of this person if they caught in the camera, because I think in every houses in the community they have this ring or whatever, how they call it. So we pass this information to alert the neighborhood of the recent incident that's been happening. It's not really limited to Hollenbeck. I think there's also a community like in the boundaries of other cities. So like in Buena Park, in Cypress and everything. Because this network, the social media network, is not limited to Stanton only. Unfortunately, I don't have yet, Madam.
Are you able to serve committee meetings at night? It will be at night. Are you available at night to serve on the committees?
I think that's what I put. Yes, Mr. Council Member.
I didn't see it here, sorry.
Yeah, although I am a full-time employee, I work 40 hours a week, yeah, but if there's a need for us to serve the community, whatever capacity, Mr. Council Member.
Normally the meetings are at night, after 6.
Okay. Thank you, Ben.
Well, I appreciate the interest and what you do for the community. I appreciate the looking out and wanting to be involved. I have one question. You've been here for a number of years now. Why now?
Because this only, well, this is the first time, to be honest, this is the first time that I've seen this application. In fact, I was just scrolling my cell phone, and then I'm a subscriber of the weekly newsletter. I think monthly newsletter sent by the city manager. So it just so happened that last week I read this thing. But just to remind the council that even when I was still new here, I've already attended the prayer breakfast meeting that was held by former Carol Warren in Knott's Berry Farm Hotel. I even participated in volunteer in setting up the during the neighborhood consultation in Hollenbeck Park in 2017.
Right.
My mother was invited to be part of the consultation with Senator Newman. I was here and representing my family. So I've been active, and it so happened that I find a job, a full-time job. That's why I was not able to participate in other events at the city of Stanton. But I assure the council that just in case the I'm given a chance, then you will be seeing me in the future events of the city, as a council member.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Mr. Melanisa, first of all, thank you again for applying for this. It's nice to know that you do have an interest in what's going on in Stanton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I just want to let you know that whatever happens tonight, I don't want you to be discouraged. But what I do encourage you to do is, either way, we would like you to continue on as a volunteer in our community, but also find a way to find some of the other opportunities that we have. We have other committees that will be coming up, and we have other opportunities for not only volunteerism, but for also we have meetings to where we ask the community for input on new programs, new parks that may be going in, and ideas. So whenever that opportunity arises, you can identify it on our city website. And I encourage you to come to those meetings and take a leadership role for not only the city, but also for your community. So thank you.
I will take note of that, Mr. Mayor. And again, thank you very much for this very great opportunity to meet you personally and to be here with the officials of the city of Stanton, with a very good staff that's been very helpful. And God bless, and thank you again. Merry Christmas, and happy holidays to everyone. Thank you.
Yeah. At this time, Mayor Council, I'd like to invite Ms. Pamela Simone to the podium. Welcome.
Welcome.
I'm going to start off with Council Member Van.
Welcome, Mr. Member. I am so pleased to see you submit an application. You're obviously a community icon, I would say.
For 46 years. I could walk to work. I still like it. I just retired, well, not just, 4 years ago as the executive director of the Boys and Girls Club, where I previously held numerous positions but ended up being the exec for about 22 years. As for public safety, in a Boys and Girls Club, you have to be safe all the time. You have to, like I call it the what ifs. You know, if you have this here, what will happen type of situation. So you constantly are always looking around to make sure every component in your club or your facility is safe for children. You have them from ages 6 to 18. So try to make sure all your staff are trained properly, CPR, first aid up, and they're trained in safety procedures too. I'm not a super big talker. I'm much better at running things or being on a committee or something, but safety to me means safety for everyone. Doesn't matter if it's your businesses or your people, your residents, your senior citizens. You know, I've had a lot of sheriff's department actually coming to my house 3 times. That's not bad. I think that's pretty good. But the last 2 times they've been trained a lot better. The training's gotten better for residents. I mean, they're really good about coming in your home and checking it out. We had somebody actually come in our home, and the officers, there were 5 of them, and they were very helpful. And then the last time we had, you know, a disturbance of music at 3 o'clock in the morning, and just felt the need for that. But it was, I've seen a big difference from the first time we had an issue to what our officers are today. I haven't had any issues with the firemen. I haven't ever had to call them. They have been at our building doing our checking and making sure everything is correct. So I just think training is something we have to do all the time. It's a constant change throughout any profession. Well, as I told you, I think, you know, continue education or continue training them to be able to handle the issues, especially all the stress right now. I mean, you have a bunch of people in this world that are all a bunch of balls right now. There's, you know, so many things they're juggling in life as families. And then with the COVID happening and a lot of social issues, mental issues, and I think officers and the firemen, you know, being able to deal with those
to handle them better, because I'm sure it's very difficult. I mean, you see it on the news with other cities and the problems they're having, and I think that the education that they need has to be an all-around type. And I know that there's been some other states and cities and other states that are doing where they have a mental health person with them on the floors. And that I've seen helps a lot when they are the ones talking a person down. I don't know. No.
Just a statement. I've known Pam for a few years. I think you were the chair of the Planning Commission when I first was appointed, which I think was 2012. And I just want to thank you for all the things you did at the Boys and Girls Club. You turned it over to a good guy that's running it greatly. But I mean, you really left him something.
I really feel blessed that I have somebody that did take over that position, and I mean, that young man grew up in the club. I mean, he started going there when he was a kid, right after it opened. So you had all these kids coming there, and then to see them grow up through the field, I mean, he stayed in Boys and Girls Club. And then the only reason why he left his last position was he knew I was retiring, mm-hmm. and that he wanted to come back home. So that you couldn't have a better person.
Yeah, that's great. And like I said, you've done so much for the community. Just a big thank you. Certainly are qualified. Thank you.
Thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for being here. If selected, what's the one priority, specifically? I know it's a public safety forum, but specifically, what's that one thing you'd like to move forward?
I think mental health seems such a huge issue right now. And it doesn't matter what age you are. I mean, you're seeing children, little kids, that are having a lot of mental issues. And I think having on the force or in the fire department, somebody who can actually really be that person to help that person, you know, come down from whatever issue it is, I think that would be something really beneficial. Because I've seen the officers out there talking to a lot of the homeless. And sorry to say, there are several homeless that do have mental issues, and I think that skill of that person is very important.
Oh, thanks. Let's see, Pam, I think I've known you 35 years, and I'm very pleased to see that you are willing to come and serve again, and maybe in a little different role than you have in the past. The one good thing is I know you're very qualified, and I know that you will be a great asset if selected. But I also know that I don't have to tell you that if you're not selected, that we want you to keep on volunteering and helping in the community. Because, well, I know that that will never go away, and I know that you'll always be there for our community as you've had for the many years you've been here. So thank you very much for applying.
Well.
Ms. Nguyen, thank you so much for applying. Could you please tell us a bit about yourself and your perspective on public safety in Stanton?
Yes, my name is Peter Nguyen. I've been living in Stanton for about 20 years, my family's. I live in the community. I'm right behind Stanton right here, Serena HOA, Serena Homeowner Associations. I volunteer as the president of the community. We also have five members, and we have meeting just like you got here to approve budgets, the budgets, okay? How to maintain our community. One thing about community is one of my responsibility to make sure my 84 homeowners, my community is safe, okay? Safety is important. So how do we just my community. How do we make it safe? Lately, you see the crime, trespassing over. So at the president, at the leader of my community, the thing, a relationship with my neighbor. As the president, I, like, for example, just last week we had Christmas decorations, right? And we come out there and everyone, you know, help out. You can see, you pass my community, you can see beautiful Christmas decoration. I yield the opportunity, just Christmas, talk to my neighbor, hey, look, we have issue trespassing, we have porch pirate. And I can ask my neighbor, hey, you work at nighttime, make sure when you come home, you roll around the community a few times, keep us safe, okay? Or you walk you walk around the neighborhood, make sure, you know, keep an eye on trespassing, you know, if you see them, follow them. So that's how we keep our community safe, okay? But the point is relationships, okay, with my neighbor. I also, besides serving as a board member of my community, I also serve as a catechist for my St. Polycarp Church. On weekend, I also volunteer to teach a group of 20 teenagers, okay? So that to help them, you know, to understand. I also help the teen, you know, with their retreat. Just as a parent, I also had two teenagers, okay? So just be around, you know, help them with, you know, organize, keep an eye on them. Especially you look nowadays with the youngsters. Every year I've been doing, helping at the church for about 12 years now. I also serve as the president of my community for 12 years, okay? And we have, the thing is keep the neighbor together. Okay, as the leader, that's how I do it. We have on July 4th, we have a big party, okay, big block party. Actually, we have a big picnic on July 4th, and we have all the activity. As the leader, how do I do it? How make sure I had a relationship with my community? Actually, as the leader, I had to do it. Okay, the first one to do it. Because you volunteer, you do it, and then you keep your neighbor together. So I would like, why I want to apply for the job, or why do I come to, actually I just got certificate of city citizen award, I mean the academy, okay? Because I think I'm ready, okay, for helping my small community and my church, and as growing up in 22 years in this city, I want to see our city safe. I want to see the outgrowth. And I want you this opportunity to apply to start. You know, to get to know the city, okay? To start, give me an opportunity to serve the community. And with my experience at, I also had a job at the programmer. So I had to listen to a lot, I had to customize solutions. So I had to listen to a lot of the solution, and I'd recommend, you know, what is your best option. So if, with that experience, okay, in the community, in this safety community, I also can use my leadership skill and my analytic skill to recommend to you, you know, any solution or any suggestion that you want safety community with my skill.
Where the conversation becomes specific to, you know, maybe Serena neighborhood, and
that you actually look at the bigger picture and that you focus on, you know, maybe some of the more citywide problems. Can you talk about any of that?
Yes. With the city, right, the main, well, if any issue come up, right, and with my experience with my little community, okay, with any recommendations for to the council or to, I have to look at it with perspective with the lens of the city or any safety of the city, okay, bigger picture, basically, okay, as a, at the resident leading our city for 22 years, you know, you pass by the city, it's small, right? We see it, okay? So any recommendation I put it, I look at it as, okay, at the point of view of the city. What is best for the city? Is it good for our resident, for the city first? Not just in my own community, okay? Is this issue I recommend to you, is it with my lens, my and perspective of not just me, of as the citizen of all of Stanton community. So basically the bigger picture when I recommend to you any point of view. Okay.
You sound like a very busy person.
Yes, but it because of actually when you do the community thing, it bring me joy. Basically you don't, you can't do these 12 years of service the church or my community without paying. You have to have that spirit, and you have to be something to enjoy it. And this is something that I enjoy to do, it to serve my community. So I would like to take the opportunity. Let's see, I want to serve the city, okay? And so give me this opportunity to serve, and let's see how, if I'm going to grow with that, to serve at the city, a bigger community.
Well, you certainly sound qualified, so thank you for applying.
Thank you for being here as well. Tell us one thing that you've seen success in your current role with the HOA that you feel you could move over to the city and be successful in the city as well.
The word success, I remember, I see that quote from a very, very good leader. I believe his name is for the one that created the car. And he had definition of success in what you give, okay? And I see that son many years ago, what is the definition of success, and I feel it. I feel what he's saying. The definition of success is what you can give. So that's what I've been doing to my community, okay? To my little community, to my church. So I let to answer your question, how you feel or how you make successfully by giving.
Yes, being in the living environment that you're in and with the multitude of diversity of the residents over there, especially the different ages, you know, I get quite a few inquiries and ask for help over the month. And there's a lot of different concerns in that environment or in your residential area. I think that if you can manage that board, that gives you a lot of strength to work with any types of individuals throughout the community. I admire you for that. I know that they're very unified in a lot of what goes on in your living residential area, and that you have addressed those concerns as well as you can, because I know pretty much a lot about the ownership over there, which sometimes is very challenging.
True. Well, HOA, you hear more people come to you when they have problem plan, okay? So if you don't have it, it's good. So at the leader, you have to kind of keep the community together. Okay? You make a decision, make everyone happy, okay? How I do that, because some people, they can't handle it 1 year, they just leave, okay? But I took over and I make my community better. Actually, we had more fun than we in the past. We had some board member doing it with rule and regulation and ticket and all that. Can't run the community like that. I'd rather go down to that house and say, hey, can you move your car? Because, you know, it's not the right place. I'd rather talk to them rather than give them a ticket. And that, through communication with my neighbor, I make that my neighborhood a better place.
Well, I want to thank you for applying. And also, whatever happens this evening, don't give up that passion to serve. Because it's quite evident in what you do and that you enjoy it and that you're good at it. So thank you.
Thank you. Yes, actually, I also teach at St. Polycarp. And every Sunday, I have about 20 teenagers. Okay? And through 12 years, and with my two teenagers now, through pandemic, yes, it's make a difference. Okay? And with social media nowadays, so it definitely, you know, this generation of teenagers grow so differently. Okay? With the pandemic, actually, I taught the class to Zoom rather than face-to-face. Okay? That's what I used to do. And yes, it's harder. They through the last 2 years, I do online class. It's not like face-to-face. And this year would come back with face-to-face and with teenager. You know what, actually, it doesn't matter. We go back to old school. The old school, the old way we've been teaching, it still work better. Okay? So whatever I grow up, or probably you will grow up, right? Old school, okay, talk to them, okay? By communications, it's always work. So yes, the pandemic, okay, and social media keep our kids quiet, okay, stay at home, not opened. So how can we help them? Go back to old school. Communication, talk to them, you know, and by that way they open it, okay, to my classroom. Yeah, we do a lot of group, okay, because now they more screen time than eye to eye, okay. So the more eye to eye, more human contact, yes, okay, it's only work better.
Good evening. Firstly, thank you for your time and consideration. My name is Wendy Centeno. I am completely blanking on who I am. I am 30 years old, and I have lived here in Stanton for about 19 years. I moved here in around 2002 or 2001, can't quite recall. I used to work for the city as a park and recs leader, which was kind of my dream job growing up here in the city. And for a little bit of background, I am a DACA recipient, and I think that status for me has marked a lot of how I've grown up and wanting to be involved, not only be an advocate for other people like me, but also to want to always know what's going on, what my rights are, how to be safe. That all those things have informed a lot of my growth over the years. And I was initially, and I didn't put this in my application again because I blanked out on who I was, but I have been an active member more in the community at the countywide. I used to volunteer a lot for OCORD, which does citizen immigration fairs, like citizenship fairs. And I've done almost every job in that, like an N-400 lead, the eligibility check, all of that. And then I was also, when I attended Santa Ana College, an active member there at my school. And We were actually given a grant, I think it was 3 years ago, and to start an UNDOCU scholars program, which would serve the needs for undocumented students of all different immigration status. And I'm really proud that I was part of that program, and I was very passionate about that, and I met other peers who were like me during that time, and I learned about, you know, all their different backgrounds and just that all the mixed statuses that exist, you know. And I myself, I'm from a mixed status family, and how we people in the community, I think in Stanton here, I joke around that, you know, the census, at least the 2010 census, was like 38,000 people. I said there's probably a lot more than that didn't even say a thing. There's, I know we want to get close to 50,000. I think we're probably already there. As far as residents, you know, that are just invisible. And I kind of want to be there for those people. I am outward about my status because I want to be there for other kids who were like my age, younger, who didn't know where to turn, who didn't think that the public services that the city provides is available to them. So I want to go ahead and be that person, be that voice to tell them, you know what, all of this is available, just like we did in the school where we told them all of these things are available to you, scholarships are available to you, you can work legally here, you can pay your taxes regardless of your status, you know, just teach them ways that that they can not only serve the community, but that the community can serve them. And I that's kind of what mainly guided me to apply for this position. I have applied in the past. Before I was interested in applying for the Parks and Rec Commission when it was last opened, but it was not available to people who were not registered to vote here. So I know that has changed, and that's why I've come forward here and applied to, because I was given the opportunity to. Last time I wasn't even able to do that. So thank you very much.
I'd just like to kind of pony up on what Alice is saying too. Your courage is just absolutely outstanding. Your background would be quite unique for us, and that would be a plus. We are, I think, the most diverse city in Orange County, and that is one, you have a background that would really add to our diversity. As far as public safety, I was listening on what you wrote down. Are you seeing still a lot of prostitution going on in the city?
Yes.
We're getting that down.
Well, you know, I think they're just like police investigate and learn routines, so do prostitution rings. They do their homework too. What I can tell you is that my parents own a shop right on Main Street and Beach Boulevard, so they see that every single day, you know, from morning to nighttime when they start coming in. So that's kind of a, like I said, a fixed feature, unwanted feature, you know, of where my parents work. And I think it's concentrated all in that area where it's commercial and behind there's residential areas, you know. So I'm sure that there are other even more commercial areas towards, I would say, between Beach and Catella, right there on Main, that are less populated but highly trafficked by like workers, you know, coming back from home or just passing through the town. And that's something that got better, really a lot better after the recession, you know, once we got back our police, you know, in here. But lately, it's just gotten worse, you know, and I think it's all because of the times, just, you know, the harsh economic times. And I feel conflicted because honestly, you know, sex worker rights and whatnot. But at the same time, I know that, you know, you have to approach it from three, like it's a multi-pronged perspective. Like a lot of these people might be being trafficked, sure, you know. And then a lot of these girls this is what they do. And I actually, one night I felt really bad because there's this girl, I always saw her there. And I went to the shop and I was there with my friend and she approached us and she asked for a ride home. And she said, can you just take me home? And I looked at her and I looked at my friend and I'm like, sure. And my friend looked at me like, are you crazy? No, don't do that. You know? I wasn't by myself, so I wasn't really scared. And I just asked her, where do you need me to take you? And I'll take you there. No questions asked. I don't want to involve myself too much, but at the same time, I really hate to see her be there alone all night. And it's a very conflicting feeling, you know, when you want to get rid of this in your city, you know that it's rampant. But at the same time, you see a human person right in front of you, you know, and I want to know what's it going to take? What kind of approaches can we brainstorm, you know, as far as either talking to these people to, you know, why do you do this? Or do you need help? Are you being forced into this? Is this the only option that you see in your life? You know, why? And if so, then, you know, maybe there's a better way to do it. Not on the street. And I know that's controversial, but, you know, I just figure it's not good for our cities, but I'm sure it's not good for them either. To be out there at night, it's not safe. That's one issue. Sorry, I went on.
That's okay. For that. Everything we're hearing is that it's more of not so much women sex workers as trafficking, the human trafficking. I read a report once that said one young female could be up to $400,000 a year to the pimp that's actually got her. And with that kind of money, and kids coming out of foster care with no place to go at 18, or even younger, that's where a lot of this is coming from. It's great that you've been the one person that said something about that tonight, so I really appreciate that. It is a real problem in Orange County. The two big streets, Beach Boulevard and Harbor Boulevard.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wendy, thanks for being here. Thanks for caring about our city. Seen our city from the ground floor, right? Participated in the city, employed the city.
Yeah.
Tell us one trend that you've seen over the last couple of years that if you are selected, you feel you can make a difference.
One trend, you said? Definitely the growth and inclusivity that's happening, and I hate that buzzwords, but it really is. It has been exponential, I think, especially in the past 5 years. And I definitely want to be part of that. I want to be part, you know, the social media presence that the city has been working on, it shows, it absolutely shows. And I think with that, you're going to reach a wider audience. You're going to reach more families in their homes. You're going to reach more kids as well, both parents and child, you know. And people like my partner's family who live in Garden Grove, but I'm always forwarding them everything that Stanton is doing because it's what I know and because I want them to go to our events, but also because it's available, it's there, you know? And that's what I always tell people, you know what, you can't do something, the city probably has a way to get you to the right resource. It's there for a reason. And when I worked here in the past, what I saw was, you know, there wasn't a lot of material available in multiple languages, and I think that's something that has actually starting to change, especially when I was working here. I know definitely I volunteered to just translate some stuff on my own time, mostly because that's something that I'm passionate. Like I do a lot of legal interpretation and legal translations, and again, that's something that I did at Accord, and something that I'm passionate about. I want people to have the information. The information is there, it's free. You just have to go and pick it up, and you have to not be afraid to go and reach for it. And I think Stanton has been doing great in that aspect, and I want to be part of that.
Mayor?
Oh, thank you. Wendy, thank you for your service to the city of Stanton. I think I remember you on a few of the occasions of the events that we had over the years. It's nice to know that you stayed in our community. I think that shows a lot of loyalty. You know, 19 years of experience is something that really is a strength that you have, as was stated by some of the other council members. You know, whatever, again, as I stated before to the other applicants, it's individuals like you that make our city what it is today, one of community pride and forward vision. And in order for us to do that, we need you to keep working, to keep being involved, and to keep applying for these positions. I think that if we get everyone feeling the way you do about our community, we will continue to be a success as a city. So again, I want to thank you for being here this evening.
Thank you.
Questions? Mr. Mayor, Council, that concludes the interview portion of the meeting process. I will now like to proceed with the nomination portion of the process for seat number five. One moment, Mr.
Second. Before we leave this section of the meeting, the other three applicants, we were very sincere in what we asked you to continue your efforts. There'll be a lot of opportunities. We have many boards. We have many events. We have many committee meetings. We have many city neighborhood meetings. And we want you to stay involved. But not only you, bring your family and your friends, because the more people that we communicate with, the stronger this community is going to be. So again, on behalf of my council and my staff and everyone, we want to thank all of you that made application, and we're looking forward to working with each and every one of you in the future. Thank you. Thank you. This is item 7A. This is consideration of ordinance number 116. An ordinance of the City Council of the City of Stanton, California, adding section 6.06 of the Stanton Municipal Code requiring mandatory organic waste disposal reduction and finding the the same exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act. And I bet it's Mr. Ames.
You are correct, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Ames?
You're getting better at that, huh?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council. Yes, I'll give a staff report in brief. The ordinance before you tonight is mostly regarding, as you mentioned, mandatory organic waste disposal reduction. This is directly affected or came about as a result of Senate Bill 1383. Senate Bill 1383 is long-term goals is to decrease organic waste disposal by 75% in landfills and increase edible food recovery by 20%. And part of the requirements of state laws that every jurisdiction in the state needs to adopt an ordinance requiring everyone to participate in organic waste disposal reduction. This ordinance also talks about mandatory penalties for noncompliance, which it comes in the form of potential fines for noncompliance. That aspect, though, is not required to take effect until January 1st, 2024. And this ordinance would take effect on January 11th if adopted by the City Council. Within the staff report, there's also a discussion of some other activities that need to take place to comply with Senate Bill 1383, including conducting outreach to residents and businesses regarding edible food recovery and disposal of organic waste, implementing an edible food recovery program with our restaurants and supermarkets. The city even has a role to play by procuring recycled organic waste products like compost and mulch. The state has mandated that cities need to help create a marketplace for all of the recycled organic waste, and we're also required to conduct enforcement and outreach compliance with SB 1383. So this ordinance covers all of those things, both affecting residents and businesses, but as well as the city itself. I am available for questions.
Alice?
Mr. Davis could not make it this evening. He had a conflict. However, we do have Mr. Shaker from CRNR in the audience this evening. If you have specific questions of CRNR.
Ashram Shaker with CRNR, Environmental Services. And yes, we are in current negotiation city and public education as a requirement of Senate Bill. We have comprehensive service guides and language offerings that have incorporated.
Issue them a citation if they don't, you
reach the required, you know, separating their waste properly, or is that you guys doing that? And if so, do you have the right to issue citations?
Thank you. Unfortunately, it is part of Senate Bill 1383 regards to the contamination monitoring. The city does have say in how they would like to go about that. CRNR does, in many of our cities, that type of outreach. A lot of that is with other companies developing an in-house that resident finds specifically, again, is a how they would like to do that, whether we tag and provide the data. Normally, a hauler does not issue the fine. But again, we're a partner. We're a long partner. So part of the discussion with the city on that action and something.
I have a question regarding the compost and mulch that we're required to buy to artificially create a market. How exactly do you suggest our city dispose or make use of so much compost and mulch? I mean, I know that you guys have compost giveaways every year, and if I remember correctly, the last time you guys had a compost giveaway, you had at least 8 pallets in excess just sitting there. At Stanton Park, because nobody wanted it, or maybe people didn't know about it to pick it up. What's the city going to do with all that compost and mulch?
Thank you, Councilmember. Procurement of compost and mulch is only one prong of recommended action to that requirement. CRNR Environmental Services is very proud of our investment. Anaerobic digester and actually help generate renewable gas that would power our. That's another option. Exploring with the city, it credits that are can come up with some ways to maximize that, but the city of Stanton won't be the only city state that struggles to achieve permit requirements. We're very confident multi-pronged.
Alice, can I help you with that?
Please do.
Yeah. Under the bill, other bill 1383, there's two basic things. We can either purchase compost or natural gas. You're looking at $100,000 maybe, or maybe $90,000 for the composting, $225,000 for natural gas. The good news is working on the sanitation district, and on you're also on Orange County Waste as well as the city manager. What I tried to do was we take our waste, or we're going to be taking our waste from CRNR to OC San. We're working on doing that. They put out an RFP for that, and OC CRNR actually was given the opportunity to take their liquid waste from city to the digesters there. In order to do that, that's going to turn that into natural gas or a fuel that we can use. The good news is I contacted Senator Herzberg's office and asked him, when he writes his bill or amends it, to allow cities such as ours who take our liquid waste or food waste and turn them into digestive gas to offset the requirement of producing natural gas so that it doesn't cost the city any money. Also, as you know, CRNR takes our organics to their digester in Paris and produce gas, which for the first time ever in the history of the world, it goes into the natural gas line of Southern California Gas, Sempra Energy. And that gas then is used to fuel the trash trucks that serve our community. Now, I'm trying to get credit for that through the legislature so that we can actually offset the cost of natural gas so we don't have to pay $250,000 a year. Also, any other city that does that is going to be also available to get the credit. And that's what I'm working on now with the legislation to the sanitation district, Orange and recycling that you're on is working with it. I did have the privilege of writing the draft report for the county of Orange for AB 1383, which is implementing all of these things. As far as enforcement goes, it's going to be a cooperative effort between our hauler and the city of Stanton to make sure that we meet the requirements. I think one of the reasons why nobody has heard anything is because Cal Recycle is changing things all the time. And I think everybody was kind of waiting for the dust to settle. Just recently, within the past few months, they accepted the Orange County Recycling Report. Now that that's all in stone, companies like CR&R can now go forward with disseminating the information to the community so that they take away all the fears that they have. We are very fortunate because our hauling rates right now are in the medium or median for the whole county. And those rates include all of the services that I aforementioned that other cities are going to have to pay now additionally. So cities that have what may be, you know, at this rate, it's going to go up quite a bit in a very short term. And that's kind of just the whole thing in a nutshell. I think as we go through this, I have asked Orange County Waste and Recycling to help the haulers disseminate this information in a better method to the cities that they serve and give the cities that we serve an opportunity to understand what they can do to benefit from the different programs that are out there, including educational money that's set aside. A portion of the 1383 money that we pay actually comes back into the community as education and programs like the one that they're using to recycle the food at this time in the County of Orange, which is now becoming a growing factor.
Just an operational question from a resident in the city with three trash bins. Is the most recent one we received was for recyclables?
Correct. We've had store separated recyclables shaded here in the city, and stickers that were referenced organic.
Which container do the organics go into? The green one?
I believe it. Correct, yes.
Do they are they supposed to be separated in plastic bags? I read the information, but I didn't see anything that really detailed. It sounded like you just throw everything into the bin.
Correct, and there are we provide tips and best practices to mitigate odors, and layering. We do not recommend brown bags, compostable bags, if required. Reference for that, but for layering,
just kind of hard on a homeowner or a resident having to separate their organics.
We do also provide seminars and best practices. There's a lot of techniques that might seem odd, but once you just like it, practice, the more you can find a technique.
Would it be possible for you to next year sometime show the council one of your demonstrations on how to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Our pleasure.
Okay. If you go to the website, they have a new video that came out that shows all the various forms of recycling, but it doesn't go into the detail that you want. So I think if you look at the, I'll send it to you, it's a very good venue of all the things that they've accomplished technology-wise, which puts them in a class above everybody. And what they'll do then is come back and they'll explain each one of those processes to you in depth. I think that's good. And you know, I was also thinking it might be a good idea for CR&R to have a public forum that we could host here at the City Hall. It's once we get everything set, where that we can not only pass out and provide information, but we can answer questions that people that are concerned about it would have an opportunity to find out about.
Absolutely. Currently, all our other jurisdictions. Video that our CR&R, but about minutes, Gary.
And I think it's important that everybody in the community, you know, they sometimes, they're always saying, well, you know, why does this city have lesser trash rates than us? Well, the reason is because they don't get the services that we have. And once 1383 hits, it's going to be a shock. You know, cities that are paying $11 or $12 for residential waste, that's going to go up to $22 easily because you can't afford, I mean, it's just, it doesn't work. It doesn't pencil out. And I think that the fact is that we have our rate fixed right now and we have it for several years. I think we're in very good shape, not only with the technology. Remember, what a lot of people don't understand is that it costs a lot of money to put a $150 million digester together. But in the long run, it begins to pay dividends to itself because once we get that over the hill on that, then our rates will flatten out. But you know, if you're gonna have new technology, somebody's got to pay for it. Once that technology's there, then you can reap the benefits of it. And I think a lot of people don't understand that because of the complexity of the system and the amount of opportunities that were provided by our hauler. Other people don't know this, but do you realize that with franchise fees and tipping fees, in other words, people bringing tonnage into our city, that generates about $1.2 million a year that goes into the general fund of the city that we use to take care to pay for our city services. Other cities don't have that. So there's a lot more to it than just looking that city pays $19, we pay $22, how come our rates are so high? And I think that that's an enigma that we have to overcome. The only way we overcome it is through education, communication, and outreach to the community. I am going to be happy to open the public hearing. I'm opening the public hearing on item 7A. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to talk about 7A? Okay, I'm going to close the hearing and bring it back to the council for the recommended action. We had our public hearing. We're going to introduce our ordinance and we're going to go 2 through 5. Is there a motion? Okay, do we do that separately, or do we do that and then do the motion for everything? We probably should pass the resolution and then make the selection. What do you want to do, Madam Attorney? We don't even have to do that tonight, do we? Because if we pass the recommended action, then we can pick the two whenever we want, correct?
I believe it would probably be better suited for us to choose the two and then.
That's what I thought. Okay.
That one.
We'll go ahead. Okay.
You know, volunteer, that's okay.
Oh, thanks, guys. My belly wagon, you're taking it away from me. Okay, since I have a very good understanding of it, I'll be more than happy to let you two do it. How's that? But don't be afraid to ask me a question, okay, once in a while, please.
Thank you very much. So we have appointed Councilmember Van and Mayor Pro Tem Taylor. Get a motion to approve the other items on the recommended action.
Second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Mr. Taylor first and Mr. Ramirez seconded it. So roll call, Madam Clerk.
Councilmember Van?
Yes.
Councilmember Ramirez?
Uh-huh.
Mayor Pro Tem Taylor?
Yes.
And Mayor Schauber?
Yes.
Thank you. Item
okay.
Passes.
That was easy. All right, we're now at 7B. This is our second item for a public hearing. This is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Stanton of California approving zoning text amendment to ZTA 2101 amending Stanton Municipal Code Title 20, zoning section 20.04, 3030, accessory dwelling units, updating the city's accessory dwelling unit, ADU, and junior accessory dwelling unit, JADU, regulations in specific single-family and multifamily residential zones. And I bet this goes to Jennifer.
You are 2 for 2, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, I'm 2 for 2. Go
ahead. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. The report in short is this. We have provided for you this evening a zoning text amendment that would address primarily the concerns related to safety. So streets that are not too our safety standards, where there might be utilities or other reasons where safety cannot be met, then this new text amendment would allow the city to have stronger regulations and restrictions on ADUs and JADUs. We also took this opportunity to find any administrative changes, just typos and other cleanup things throughout the ordinance, and we've adjusted those as well. But the primary change that we're providing for you this evening is related to those safety concerns. We are recommending that you approve the text amendment that's before you, and I'm happy to answer any questions, and also our city attorney is briefed as well.
Okay, any questions from the council? Okay, I'm going to open the public hearing for item 7B. Is there anyone wishing to speak on item 7B? Okay, thank you. I'll close the public hearing and bring it back to the council. Yeah, it was firsted by Mr. Ramirez and seconded by Ms. Van.
I'll proceed with a roll call vote. Councilmember Van? Councilmember Ramirez?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Taylor?
Yes.
And Mayor Shaver?
Yes.
Thank you. Item passes.
Okay, we're now on number 7C. This is the adoption of an urgency ordinance adding chapters 19.23 and 20.211 to the Stanton Municipal Code to regulate urban lot splits and two unit projects under SB 9 and finding the action to be exempt from CEQA. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. As you're well aware, recent state law changes will be going into effect January 1st that address lot splits in our residential neighborhoods. Tonight we have before you an urgency ordinance that will allow the city to have our own regulations and restrictions that are in compliance with the new state law that would allow us to bridge the gap between January 1st and our ordinance going into place. We actually have on the Planning Commission agenda tomorrow evening the proper provisional ordinance, or sorry, the permanent ordinance that will be in place, and we'll come back to you just following the break in January. So tonight, this puts in place the urgency ordinance that will give us restrictions and regulations that will keep us in compliance with SB 9. Happy to answer any questions that you may have, and the city attorney is briefed as well.
Are there any questions from the council? Okay. At this time, I'm going to open the public hearing on item 7C. Is there anyone wishing to address the council on item 7C? Okay, I will be closing the public hearing and bringing it back to the council for recommended action.
Second.
Okay, Madam Clerk.
I got a motion by Councilmember Ramirez, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Taylor. I will now proceed with a roll call vote. Councilmember Van?
Yes.
Councilmember Ramirez?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Taylor?
Yes.
And Mayor Shaver?
Yes.
Thank you. Item passes.
Thank you. At this time, I want to thank Jennifer Lilly, our Community Development Director, and also our attorney, Hung Dao, for their excellent work on this document. If you've had a chance to read it, I think it really, you know, the state of California has taken away our local control, which is not good. And it doesn't allow us to make sure that the residents and the families and the communities that we have are safe and protected here in Stanton. But our attorney and our Community Development Director, under the laws as they were given, really tightened up some of the loose ends so that we do have some control over things that are going to be happening in the future. I don't know many of you that are familiar with SB 9, but I'm just going to, if you'll just bear with me, Council, for a moment, I think it's important that you understand what it does. It takes a residential neighborhood where you may only have 3,000 square foot lot or a 5,000 square foot lot, and you can subdivide it in half, and you can build a dwelling on this side, a dwelling on that side, and a dwelling over here. And so what it does is you end up with basically an apartment in a single family residential neighborhood. The problem with that is nobody ever thought of the following issues. Parking, where's everybody going to park? sewers. How is the flow going to go? You can't put in an entire new sewer system in every neighborhood. Who's going to pay for it? The neighbors? Water system, electricity, congestion. It's really going to be detrimental to the environment. And so therefore, it being crammed down our throats by the state of California, most and every local government has been opposed to this because they want to protect the sanctity of your local neighborhoods. That doesn't mean that you can't have a granny flat if you need it, and we support those kind of things. What we don't want is developers coming in and building apartment complexes on single-family residential homes, and that's exactly what's going to happen. Now, the question is, why did the government do that? Because they wanted to make it affordable. Well, if you put four apartment complexes on a plot that's 4,000 square feet, do you think anybody's going to be able to afford that? No. The only people that's going to be able to afford that is the developer who's going to rent all that out and mess up where you're living. So I just wanted to give you a little background because I'm very passionate about that. And I want to also, again, thank our staff for providing and trying to protect our community. Thank you. Unfinished business, we have none. New business, item 9A. This is consideration of the exclusive negotiating agreement with Brandywine Homes, CNC Development, and National Corps regarding the Tina Pacific Development Project. But it's you.
That would be me.
Because, well, I that was a gimme though, because she left.
you're batting 100. No, thank you, Mr. Mayor. At the conclusion of the August 24th, 2021 study session, City Council directed staff to negotiate with Brandywine, CNC, and National Corps, collectively the developers, towards an exclusive negotiating agreement regarding the Pacific neighborhood. City staff and the developers have reached mutually agreeable terms for the ENA that will establish a 180-day period to negotiate regarding one or more future agreements between the city and developers governing the potential acquisition of the property by the developers and development of new housing in the Tina Pacific neighborhood. Following the conclusion of any ENA term, regardless of the outcome, staff will submit to HCD the post-negotiation notice and proposed disposition summary pursuant to the Surplus Lands Act in order to obtain HCD's confirmation that the city has fully complied with the Surplus Lands Act. As you recall, the developer submitted a two-part development proposal, with Brandywine proposing a minimum of 116 market rate ownership townhomes, and CNC and National Corps proposing a minimum of 108 affordable multifamily rental apartments. Altogether, this proposal comfortably meets the 25% affordable housing development minimum established by the surplus land. Based on the proposal, the city and the developers, again, have come to a tentative agreement, subject to future negotiations, of course. The terms are contained in the staff report, but I'd like to highlight a few of some of the main points. The purchase price for the sale of the entire property shall be $22 million, paid as follows: $17,500,000 in immediately available funds, and a $4.5 million land loan from the city to the multifamily developers to be repaid by the multifamily developers over the course of 55 years. The city's share of the acquisition and relocation cost for the property shall be limited to $17,500,000, and both CNC and National Corps will be incentivized to secure additional grant funding for the housing development. The developer shall submit a proposed plan to relocate existing tenants and occupants in compliance with the California Relocation Assistance Act. The developer shall construct, to the extent economically feasible, amenities for shared use by both housing developments. The multifamily developers, CNC and National Corps, shall obtain LEED Platinum certification for the multifamily housing development. Finally, CNC and National Corps will execute a regulatory agreement that restricts the multifamily site for affordable housing for 55 years. As you know, the city received correspondence late this afternoon focused on the lack of detail about the relocation assistance and the replacement housing plan. I'd like to emphasize currently that the ENA states, as part of their obligations, the developers must in good faith propose a relocation plan in compliance with the California Relocation Assistance Act. This is contained in section 4F. ENA also states that the parties have tentatively agreed, subject to future negotiations, that the developers will assist the city in developing and implementing plans to relocate existing tenants and residents on the site. This is contained in section 5B1. At this time, staff does not believe anything in the ENA needs to be changed. But again, I want to emphasize that providing full relocation assistance and compliance with applicable state laws is of the utmost importance to us. That concludes staff report, and both myself, HD, and the developers are here to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you. Are there any questions to Jared at this time? Yes, go ahead.
Based on the comments and numerous emails we've gotten today from residents and different organizations, it sounds to me that even though we specifically stated that there will be a relocation plan, that there will be communication with the residents, that message is not coming across, and they are still confused, and they don't seem to understand that that they will be involved in this relocation plan. Can you talk about if there's any sort of committee that might be developed that will include the residents and their voices when we have these relocation plans in place?
Mayor and Council, if I may, I believe that when the relocation plan comes about and NA is still the negotiating portion of the agreement, then the residents will be involved. I understand that the developers team, and we heard this at the study session in August, has a dedicated relocation expert who, you know, is very, very versed in this and has committed to working with the residents of Chino Pacific to involve them, to be very involved. I wanted to echo the city manager's, comments that this is not the timing at this point. An exclusive negotiating agreement is just that, to commit to negotiating. There's been no disposition of the property under this action.
So I wanted to emphasize what the city attorney has said, is that there will be an opportunity for residents to be involved. And so do not think that we have to do it at this point with the ENA. You will have more of an opportunity to have your voice heard and be part of that process as we move towards the DDA. Reading all these letters asking, we want to be part of the relocation, we want to have our voice heard, and we hear that, and you will have your voices heard. So I want to assure you that there will be a timeline, and you will be very well informed in that process. Secondly, I spoke with you over the phone on this about the first right of refusal. I know that some of our residents have lived in the Chino Pacific neighborhood for decades. Sometimes they have multiple generations living in that area, and so it's very difficult to uproot someone from a community that maybe the only community they've known or their children have known, and to suddenly be displaced. And if it is feasible, given the funding that is available to the developer, as well as if the residents qualify, would it be possible to request first right of refusal so that the residents will have the opportunity to return to the Chino Pacific neighborhood once the construction is completed and we have a beautiful housing available for them? Is that something that we can include in maybe if not the ENA, then at least the DDA?
Certainly, and I think a developer shaking his head, but let me go ahead and respond to that, Mayor and Council. As I just mentioned, the ENA period is just a commitment by both parties to negotiate, and those are the types of things that will be discussed during, if this council approves this action tonight, those are the discussions that will be coming into place. Issues like right of first refusal, how the relocation plan, the timing and in the bounds of the law. So certainly that is something that we can encourage from the city side, the developer to look into.
Those may be the largest concerns I've heard from residents to find funding, to secure additional funding. Who is doing the incentivization and how much will that cost?
That is something, again, it's going to be the answer of the night that we will work through in the next step, right? The next step is to negotiate the EDA. I don't have an answer for you tonight, but we will certainly let you know as soon as we know what the incentivization is.
It's very vague, and I find that in multiple areas of the DNA that the wording was very vague. And I wasn't sure what exactly you were committing to and what the dollar amount was. And it sounds like this is still a process. And mm-hmm. as we work through the DBA, more details will emerge. So thank you for that. I wanted to get a commitment, especially from Brandywine tonight, that, and this was something I had mentioned the first time we talked about this, is that there won't be a huge disparity between the services and amenities that are offered at the market rate housing and the affordable income housing developments. My fear, again, was that we would have a community that, in my eyes, should be one development, but end up being two completely different experiences, where you have, you know, the haves and the have-nots, and folks who get exclusive access to a pool because they happen to be able to afford market rate housing, and folks who maybe don't have access to anything because they are living in affordable housing. I don't know if that's something in the ENA it's stated to the extent that it's economically feasible, amenities will be shared by both housing developments. I'm not sure what economically feasible means, but I assume that allowing your pool to be open to the whole 10 acres should not be economically infeasible. Can I get a commitment of some sort from Brandywine about whether or not the amenities will be shared, or how that will look on a practical level?
Let me interject. Alice, we're at a point right now where we're going to open negotiations on everything. I don't think it's fair to the developer, or the fair to the city, or fair to the people for us to make judgments and commitments tonight without getting input from the community, getting input from the developer and our staff. Tonight's main goal is to just award the exclusive negotiating agreement, and the whole world opens up. If we don't do that, we don't get started, and a project we've been waiting 15 years for is not going to happen. So we're not going to solve or get all our ducks in a row tonight. But after we get this document going, we can take care of the concerns that you have, the concerns that the residents have. And nothing is going to be left off the shelf. You know, if you want to find out about whether the educational center is going to be run by the five group that we talked about, whether the pool is going to be open to the whole world, if there's going to be a fencing around the whole building, are we going to put, the new electrical charge vehicle sites there so people can charge their electrical cars if they can afford one? I can't. But I think tonight is not to sit here and get commitments until we negotiate. Negotiation brings commitment. And so if we get through this tonight, we can go and ask all those questions and get those answers. Because remember, once we start this, we're not going to finalize it until everybody's happy. It's nothing. So, you know, that's why they call it negotiations. Once we get everything out on the table, we get everything open to the public, everybody gets to say and speak, then we'll sit down and make a judgment, and then the council will then decide whether it's acceptable or not as a group.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate that. I guess for me, I just wanted to make it known that the expectation is that entering these negotiations, that I do expect that there be shared amenities as written in the EMA, and those shared amenities would be equitable. And I do expect, like we have talked about,
well, you know, I'll give you an example. Maybe we have two swimming pools, okay? Maybe we have two, and they're shared. I mean, we don't know what out there. We don't know what's viable. Maybe we want to have one large park for the whole area. You know, maybe we want to have a shared parking area. You know, we don't know what the people that are going to be living there want. The people that are there that are going to stay there want. are what the city needs. But remember, no matter what we all want, this is governed by strict regulation by the guys in Sacramento. And sometimes what we want, we're not going to get because the law won't allow us to do it. But like I said before, I understand where you're coming from. I think we all want what you want. It's just a matter of let's get to it when it's that time. And your advocacy can be, and I will support that. Okay. Any other questions? All right, can we have the developers come up, please? Our representative, please. Do we have, is National Corps here tonight? Oh, yep.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. My name is Todd Cottle with CNC Development.
We have, okay.
Ty Evans with Brandywine. Michael Wayne, who was with us at the last council meeting, was not able to be here tonight.
Anyway, could you tell us a little bit about, you know, we're giving you, it seems that we've settled to at least get to this point. Could you just give us maybe a little bit of perspective of when we're going to get this thing up and running and get done? That's a concern we all have.
Yes, sir. No, I appreciate that question, and we're excited to be here this evening. We'll get this as not only a partnership in bringing the housing to fruition, but a partnership with the city. That involves looking at the site, evaluating the site from board with the development, but then also working with the existing residents there, both in short term and long term. Our goal is to move forward from execution of this ENA and hopefully approval this evening into working through not only on the development agreement, but also starting to work through and really refining our site plan, our elevation, development, working in conjunction with community development staff to really evaluate that, to bring that all back forward with that development agreement as expeditiously as possible.
And then you're talking about management of the properties and things like that. Are these things that will also be brought to the council for consideration?
That's correct, as well.
Because I think that over the years I've learned that if the city, the developers, the people that are going to end up managing it, the people that, like, if you have an HOA or you don't, or you just have a community-based organization, you know, that has to be well structured in right. order for it to be successful. What we don't want to do is we don't want to put any new buildings, no matter whether they're at market rate or low and mod housing, and have either of them or none of them or any of them become successful. And I've seen it happen so much in our city to where we've done a lot of different projects. And the ones that are the most successful are the ones that get input from the community. That's number one, the people are going to live there. Number two, input from the management. Let us know how you're going to manage it, how you're going to keep it in the condition where it is environmentally friendly, but also it keeps the quality of life for the people that are going to live there. That's our goal. And if we don't have that, then we don't want it. I mean, we waited a long time, but if we don't do it the right way, then we're going to be in trouble.
We appreciate those comments, and we take the same approach to the development. Own and manage and operate the affordable communities, and Brandywine's commitment on the upfront and the design, the establishment of the homeowners association long term. We like to joke with our city partners that when you get us for life. That's really how we're approaching the development, the entitlement, and the operations. That goes into how the buildings are constructed, materials that are used, a strategy even related to access to the community, because our manager is going to be out there, they're going to be managing the building long term. CNC Development's actually unique in the industry as well. We self-perform on our property management, so we do look at it as a long-term and a long-term relationship.
Any other questions? Thank you, gentlemen, for being here.
Thank you very much.
Okay, at this time, I'm going to be giving an opportunity for people that have requested to speak on item 9A. So when I call off your name, if you'd please come up. You have, 3 minutes, and we'll let you know when time is winding down. Please don't be repetitive. we're pretty smart, you know, even though we're a little older. I mean, I am, I'm sorry. And so I usually catch it the first time. But we're more than happy to listen to anybody that would like to speak tonight, and we welcome you here for being here. So we'll begin, first of all, with Daisy Cruz, please.
Good evening, City Council. My name is Daisy, and I'm with the Kennedy Commission. I'm here alongside other organizations and residents of Chino Pacific to recommend changes to item 9A, ENA, and mainly because the city must address state affordable housing law when considering the redevelopment of Chino Pacific, which to date the city has not made clear. So there's no clear idea of what that timeline is gonna look like, and residents are leaving the neighborhood and are not getting the relocation assistance that they are entitled to. The commission requests
Thank you, Daisy. Okay, our next speaker will be Yesenia Hernandez, please.
Good. All right. Hi, everyone. Hello, members of the council. My name is Yesenia Hernandez. I'm a planner with Community Action Partnership of Orange County, and I've been working with the Chino Pacific neighborhood for like the past year. I thank you for, I would say, Councilmember Van, for addressing some of the concerns that the residents had, and for really pushing forth those concerns and making sure that they are going to be, and they are, of course, and put in the plan. So I just want to make sure that we note it again, that it's really concerning that there still isn't a plan, and I know we've been saying that there's going to be a plan, but we're just kind of planning the plan. So we just want to make sure that we're addressing the residents' concerns, because they've just been waiting, and they continue to wait, it's not favorable in their life that they keep waiting, and that they can't really, you know, plan for the future. And also, you know, like I said earlier, we want to make sure that they do have the right to plan for their own future in this negotiation plan and stuff like that. Just because they're living not in great conditions, and want to make sure that they're going to be forward with something that is safe and healthy for their lives, and that, again, they have a say. As we said earlier, we just want to make sure that they have a say, and that, you know, there is a resident-led committee that is part of this relocation plan. Make sure that, you know, their rights and their say is.
Thank you very much. Our next speaker will be Elizabeth Gonzalez, please.
Hello, my name is Elizabeth, and I just want to thank council member for saying that she wants to make sure that we know that we need to be part of the office, one of my concerns for but the apartments that are still being owned by that aren't owned by the city are like, you guys know any information or do you know any information on the housing control? them that have some and have some
Elizabeth, I think I can, I just want to give you a couple of comments on that. What I'd like you to do after, before you leave, is to meet with Jennifer, and she can maybe answer some of those questions that you have. Right now, we're just beginning to negotiate on the project. Once we get through that, we'll have a timetable so that everyone, including the council, will have an understanding of what our target dates are. Some of the questions you answered after we get to that period will be answered, and then people will have a better a knowledge of exactly what's going to go on. It would be just speculation for us right now until we get through this first phase. Once we get through the first phase, working with staff, and that's why I want you to contact Mrs. Lilly right now, we'll be able to reach out to the community so that you will know what that timetable is. If you are anxious to find out, think about us that have been waiting 15 years to improve that portion of our community. I mean, it's been my goal for years to do that, as well as some of our other council members. We set aside redevelopment money to do the whole project, and then they took the whole project away from us, the state did. So we were left with nothing. For us to finish this project is one of our main goals. I will give you some good news. Not only are you going to get a new Tina Pacific, but they're going to break ground Monday on breaking down the Super King site and developing it into a brand new market area with a new Super King center, new stores, new landscaping, and it's going to be a wonderful thing for that whole community. So we're excited about it. We wanted to start last week. But you have to go through the protocol, especially when the state of California governs what you do. Thank you. Okay, Juan Gonzalez, please.
Hello? Well, first of all, I'm gonna be repetitive, right? Because I was gonna ask the same thing you just asked.
Oh, that's okay.
But I'd like to thank you guys for, you know, hopefully taking us into consideration, because a lot of the neighborhoods, well, a lot of the residents in the neighborhood are just stressing out of, you know, without knowing what they're gonna, their future is holding for them. And for me, I lived in Tina Pacific for 16 years, and I always thought I was part of Anaheim. So like 3 years ago or whenever this started, I found out I was a resident of Stanton. So yeah, so it's like, we're not getting enough communication from the city as well, if we could get a little bit more. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Juan. Okay, Celicia Tavaca, please. Oh, I'm sorry, Cecilia, I apologize. Can't see very well.
Everybody, I'd like to thank you very much for this opportunity for letting us in Tina and Pacific area to come and say what we have to do to guys like you.
I agree with all what it says in the letter, especially as the city, if the city wants to get up with the tenants right now, people who are left right now in tenants, I will agree with that. because we don't get any notes of, it's just these two ladies, and they've been helping, trying to give us so many, some things that we will come back. But I'm sorry, I have to let my name again. Sorry, but my name is Cecilia Sabaki. And I told you some of you guys were here at the first meeting. I came in Tina Way in 1994. From that time until now. So I know I'm the only one. Some of the ladies here, they were in together with us at the same time. So just a comment that I want to say it again. When we come out, we will be. Because some of us, like the same as that, we have our own future, but we are waiting. So this is the only thing I want. Let us know so that we know what we're going to do, if you guys are going to help all of our tenants, and especially right now where we're staying right now, it's not good, especially we have kids. Too many rats. Their apartment, they were abandoned. There were firefighters. Last month, is a place next to me, next door to my apartment. The city hasn't done anything. So how are we going to stay over there if all the rats is going to crawl inside my apartment? I have kids. I have to buy big beds so that the rats won't crawl up when the kids are sleeping. No matter we clean it, but it doesn't change. Sorry, I want to know tonight when is the city going to help all the tenants between us and the city. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Just to comment, if you're having problems in the facilities that you're living in right now, if they're not privately owned and they're owned by the city, you need to contact the city. And that would be either Mr. Ames, I believe, our public work director, and who else, Jared?
I'm pulling up a phone number right now. So the city retained quality management group to provide property management services. Contact information for quality management is either Lizette, and I know you have her contact information, or Tim Johnson. If you need anything, I can forward it again to Yesenia. I can forward it again to Yesenia to give to get to the community.
And I was at several of the Zoom meetings that we had that was put together, and I know there was some concern about the maintenance, management company that we have. You know, I'll be honest with you, I'm not happy with them. Okay, I've never been happy with them, but that's just my own personal opinion. So if you're having a problem with them, you know, call me or Jared, okay? You don't have to call Yesenia, just call me. If you need my cell phone, you can get it from me after. I give it to you right here. I got my cell phone on my card. There's no reason for you to have to live in that type of condition. And if that's happening because of the people that we hired to do the maintenance and to facilitate taking care of that, you know, that has to stop. I wish somebody would have come to us before now. Do we know that with the ENA, at what portion of the ENA that we're going to have National Corps and CNC take over the management role? When does that happen?
Right now, they're going to help us supervise quality management group. Discussions are still ongoing as to when they are going to take over. There's some liability concerns, this, that, and the other that we need to work through. But it is a goal of ours to eventually have the developers take over management as opposed to quality. So soon, I don't have an answer. We need to work through and dance this dance, but that is something that we're working towards.
Is that something, Madam Attorney, that can be done before we complete a DDA or a ENA compromise?
Mayor and Council, that's certainly a point we can negotiate and discuss with the developers. In terms of timing, I think that we have been having ongoing discussions on that point, just haven't come to a resolution yet. So I don't have the answer to that. That is going to be part of the negotiations on timing of when they fully take over management of the property.
Well, you know, in reality of it is, it would be beneficial to the residents. It's beneficial to the developer and the city to have that particular Tina Pacific project under good management, even at this time, so that it doesn't continue to fall into disrepair and the problems that we have. I mean, that's the way I look at it. You know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know if the council agrees with me or not. But, you know, there is no excuse for not having a quality of life that everyone else enjoys in our community because the management people aren't doing the job. You know, and I don't have a problem saying that. I mean, I went over there where they wouldn't even board up, you know, some of the vacant buildings where we had people that were drug users in there. And I had to chase them out myself. I got a little tired of that. You know, there's things that we are responsible for as property owners that we need to take care of. And just because we hire a management company to do it, that has to be overseen, and it's our responsibility. And if we're not doing that, then we're not doing our job. And I'm not saying that our staff hasn't been doing their job. You know, we got a lot on our plate with the transient population, with crime and things like that. But when you're talking about somebody's residential home, that's got to be addressed. And I know that we all feel the same way. It's not like I'm preaching to the choir. I am preaching to the choir here. But I think that the management company has always been a sore spot with me. And whether or not they've improved, I don't know. But just hearing tonight about the rodent problem, that bothers me. And I'm not sure who owns that, but it should be addressed.
Is she in one of our buildings?
She is in one of our buildings. My understanding is that the gardens, which were unfortunately removed, were one of the main contributing factors, and that has gotten better. I want to go honestly on record in saying the management company has only been with this neighborhood for a year, maybe a year and a half, right? Mm-hmm. Management before, the neighborhood didn't get this way over a year.
That problem can be taken care of
correctly.
Quickly.
Yeah, so they're working to address it. Quality is one of the best in the business. I have regular monthly meetings with the supervisor of the neighborhood. They let us know any issues that they're dealing with. We virtually sign and approve every repair bill that comes in. If anybody is having issues, it's not the first time we heard about the rat problem. I've given my cards out. I've asked people to call me. Nobody's called. They'll come to the meetings here and they'll talk at the podium, but nobody calls me to let me know that these issues are ongoing. So either call me, call Tim Johnson, call Quality, call Lizette, and we will take care of it. I promise you that.
And in defense of our city and our staff, but this was probably about 4 or 5 months ago where I was getting some complaints. But since then, I really haven't got any. So there has to be something going on that we're doing right. And it's just the fact is that here we are, communication again. If you're having a problem, pick up the phone and let somebody know. You know, don't wait till a council meeting and come and complain about it. And, you know, we're very responsive. Our staff is very responsive. And if the management company isn't doing something right, they'll talk to them. But, again, Mr. Hildebrand said, we have to know about it before we can act. Go ahead, Gary.
No, that was all I wanted to do.
Yeah, go ahead, Alice.
I just want to mention that, was that this Spanish speaking, is that correct?
Correct.
only was a resource for everyone. It's a doctor that can speak Spanish, but she won't have to learn Spanish.
Our next speaker will be Juliana, please.
Good evening. My name is Juliana. I'm part of the Tina Waitina Pacific Conference. Yeah, I was colleagues were mentioning there's a lot of miscommunication, especially with the management department, because I mean, like, they come and do something like they were doing the garden last time, and the fence. And then we come because they were cutting, like, oh, what's going on? So I said, well, the city sent us. City is selling all the maintenance. Okay, that's fine. So there's a lot of miscommunication that is still with going on that we need to be going on. So the other thing is that we ask that. For the relocation, for the when it's going to come. But there's another thing that's going to be confusion in the neighborhood. There's some apartments that are not owned by the city. And I told my neighbor, I said, come and jump to the meetings, because that way you will be able to know what's going on. So it's not because I have a lot of time to be here, I said, I do a lot of stuff. I have my kid that is special needs. My mom is under depression right now. So I said, it's not that I have a time, but it's my community. I've been living here for many years. So I want something good. This is going to help me later on, because I say, you have to go to the meeting, please. So I say, no. You know, our landlords are saying, they don't want to sell the permits. We're going to be keeping here. So they're ready. You guys already saw, but we're gonna be here. They say they don't wanna sell the permits. That's it. Well, there's an agreement. We've been going to the city and we've been going to the meetings, and this is going on. So please come, because otherwise we're gonna get the last minute. This is my joint. So I appreciate Alice a lot of the questions and answer that I was having too. And I would appreciate it that you guys give us help and support. Are like, I don't want to get sick. I was telling my mom, I don't want to get mentally ill. My mom got sick from COVID, so now she's like under depression and anxiety. So I said, I don't want to get sick. I have my son, I have my mom, but I'm trying to be strong and say, hey, nothing's going to come. Something, good things are going to come. So, but I know that communication is important, attending to the meetings are important. And I'm here, so thank you so much for being here. I know it's late already. My son hasn't got dinner yet. He's waiting for me as well. Thank you so much.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak before the council on item 9A? Okay, I'll close the without public hearing. Is there any other questions? Okay.
Mayor, I'd just like to note as well that we did receive five written provided to you on the dais and also in the process.
Okay, so go ahead, Alice.
If this DNA gets passed tonight, could we give the residents a timeline, maybe an approximate timeline on when they can expect to be relocated and what that process will look like? So what do you
decide on that? You know, it's tough, and I'm not dodging, I'm not ducking the question whatsoever, but we still have to negotiate and have a true, viable, feasible project ahead of us. The project is what triggers relocation and what triggers the preparation of the relocation plan. That will take either in-house, right, or a consultant, probably a couple months to prepare. Interviews, resident committee, participation. once that plan is prepared, we have to bring it to the legislative body. I believe there's a 30-day review period for the public, for the legislative body to comment on it. And as the mayor previously said, we won't approve it until everybody's happy. From there, there's a 90-day notice to displace residents. We cannot displace residents until replacement housing has been secured, right? And there's, you know, a lot of residents in the neighborhood and not as much replacement housing out there in the county right now. So putting a timeline on it tonight is extremely premature. We don't have answers to the questions. We know it's coming. There's a 180-day period for the ENA negotiation. There's a 90-day potential extension in that negotiation. There's at least 6 months, right? We know it's not going to happen in the next 6 months. Once we adopt the relocation plan, I want to say it's only valid for a year. Rewind, a couple years ago, we had started on the relocation plan with related Californian. We had that deal and with OPC. We drafted it, we surveyed it. The relocation benefit at that time was nearly $10 million, which is virtually what bankrupt the project. We didn't have enough funding to move forward with it. So that's where we had to go back to the table. I empathize with you guys. I know it's been a struggle, especially since 2009. So to put a timeline together at this point, again, is pretty premature. What we can do is work with CNC National Corp, Pat Whitaker. We can ballpark an anticipated timeline, but again, there's going to be so many contingencies built in there, it will be pretty tough to nail down and secure. I don't know if it's 12 months or 18 months out. If I had to ballpark it now, I would probably say at least 12 to 18 months. Certainly no sooner than that, but I don't think it's, you know, on that 24-month horizon as well. Folks have been relocated. No secret. They were provided emergency relocation assistance. That has nothing to do with this project. That had to do with the habitable conditions. OPC, one of the best in the business, provided that relocation assistance. One of the letters referenced an eviction. That is because folks failed to pay rent. What I would encourage you to do is pay your rent. If you don't pay rent, you will not be eligible for relocation assistance, period. So that is very important. If you need help with rent, again, reach out to Lizette, reach out to Tim, reach out to Quality. We're offering to help you out with all of the rental assistance and put you in touch with a number of the programs that are out there right now. So that is very important as well. But my best guess right now, 12 to 18 months, maybe that stretches out to 24. They will also be entitled to relocation. No secret, right? It's all public. The city has been buying properties in the neighborhood. There's 40 in total. To date, we own 31 of the 40, so there are 9 remaining. A couple years ago now, we triggered the eminent domain process. That is something that we will likely have to do again. So whether or not they are willing sellers, we will look to acquire them through the eminent domain process. That is on the agenda. It's been agendized before. We have talked about it. So whether or not they have willing sellers, we know out of the 9 that remain, 3 are at least willing sellers. Hopefully they still are today. The other 6, maybe the threat of eminent domain or the resolution of necessity, which will likely come back to council here relatively soon, convinces them to sell to us. But ultimately, our plan and our hope is that they are acquired and then the community is redeveloped into the Magnolia Crossings neighborhood.
Any other questions? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and move 9A at this time. Okay, Madam Clerk, please call roll.
A motion by Mayor Chauvre, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Taylor. I will now proceed with the roll call vote. Councilmember Van?
Yes.
Councilmember Ramirez?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Taylor?
Yes.
And Mayor Chauvre?
Yes.
Item passes.
Okay, I was going to ask the council for a recommendation. Let's say in 90 days from today, which will give us after the new year in the first month, let's get on the agenda. I'll put it on request for future agenda that we will give an update to the residents and the city, anybody in the city, on the Tina Pacific project. Mm-hmm. And we'll invite everybody back, and we'll have the developers here. We'll kind of go of where we've come, where we are, and where we're going.
Sure.
Okay?
Mr. Mayor, if I may?
Yep. You know, either way is fine. I just want to have the meeting.
Do they have a place though where we could do it?
I'm sure there are several places that are basically flat land where we could meet. The community garden where it used to be.
Yeah, community garden, one of the parking lots, one of the former Illumination Foundation facilities.
Much larger space than
it'll be outside.
We'll put up a pup tent. Okay, we're moving on to item 9B. By the way, thank you all for being here this evening. If you go, we appreciate you coming here on this item. Okay, City Council, we already did that one.
Yes, 9B was out of order.
Oh, good. Okay, we're now back to oral communications. Is there anybody who'd like to talk about anything? I'm opening the public hearing. Yes, please, come forward. Okay. I'm closing public hearing. No written communications. Is there any mayor, chairman, council initiated business? You sure about that, huh? Okay, committee reports or announcements?
Great toy drive on Sunday. Thank you, Mayor.
Alice, tell us about it because you're the youngest and you enjoyed it the most. And we all had our picture with Minnie and Minnie Mouse and shelf, Elf on the Shelf. Yeah. Okay, one of the other things we did is that we were at the Human Rights Awards in the city of Westminster. So, Alice, tell us about that, please.
Well, that was a Vietnamese Human Rights Network. I was quite surprised to see the turnout. And that was my first year attending. I believe our mayor has attended multiple times before. And they awarded two Vietnamese individuals with an award for fighting for human rights.
That's great. And I just wanted to, my other announcement is I want to say what a great job our staff is doing. Zinni and her group with not only our Christmas tree program, which was really, really successful this year, but all the food that we're giving out. And I wanted to let you know that I'm bringing in 17 truckloads for January 15th. But you're not going to have to do anything. I'll just tell you where to show up, okay? And anyway, also, the reports that I've been getting from our Sheriff's Department has been really good about, we always just talked about the ladies of the night that are out there. Last Thursday, we got a new crop that came in as I was coming down Western, and I was tripping over them. So they know where Stanton is now. You know, when they come here, they think that we're just part of Orange County. But then when our Sheriff's Department gets a chance to greet them and welcome them, they understand where they need to be, and it's not in our town. So, Chief, thank you very much for that. Also, Jim and his angels. We have four angels now. We have Damien, Angel, Damien,
Mary.
Mary, yeah. So, I mean, they're all angels. So that's, we are an angel squad. Anyway, doing a great job. We're now focusing on Home Depot. And we're having a lot of success there. So we're kind of taking on each area one at a time. And so I'm really pleased if you would let everybody know that, Mr. Wren, that's really good. That worked out really well. Good job on the sewers, Mr. Ames. We had no overflows this time. I saw them out there with shovels, so that's good. Okay, moving on to the next one is we're at 12A. Committee reports, we did that. 12B, council, anything for a future meeting? Okay, just maybe you want to add that thing in 90 days around there. Maybe might have to go 120, but 90 would be good. And if we can have it, we'll have Mr. Ramirez, he does that walk at the thing in the park.
Yeah, we'll timeline it, right, through kind of DDA negotiations. We want to meet when we have something substantial to share.
Yeah, I think that's great.
So might not be 90 days. We have 180 to work with, but we'll time something out there on site.
You know what we could do, too, is if we don't have any news, we could always get a letter to the management company that could distribute it in the neighborhood and just give them a written update, too. Okay, we're on item number 12C. This is anything for a future study session? No? Okay, good. I can't see it on my glasses. I'm at home.
Mr. Mayor, would you like me to proceed?
I beg your pardon?
Would you like me to proceed up through the agenda for you?
12D?
12D, recognition of outgoing mayor pro tem.
I think that is a great idea.
I'd like to punt 12D since we're missing a council member to maybe next meeting or maybe Thursday meeting.
Can I 12D though, right?
Can I make a recommendation?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, we usually have a transition that's very smooth, because everybody's sitting in a seat. And what we do is we just take the mayor pro tem and we put him down at the end and everybody moves over one. And historically, that's always worked out really well. So from a historic perspective, it would be Mr. Taylor would move to the seat down there. Mr. Ramirez would move to this seat. You'll move to the on deck seat and Carol would move over one. So, I mean, it's not really a lot of magic to it. I think that is appropriate. We've done that traditionally. Everybody's always been happy with that. I'd like to do that this evening so that we can get through the holiday and get that all squared away. So if Mr. Ramirez, if you don't have a problem with that, I would like to move forward.
Let's do it Thursday. How about that?
What's Thursday?
How about that? Let's do it Thursday.
Unfortunately, that would have to wait till January.
Yeah, see, we're at the window.
The agenda for the December 16th meeting has already been published.
Go ahead.
Yeah, because we don't have. That's what I was thinking.
So two options, right? Let me skip ahead to item 14, city manager's report. Was going to announce that this Thursday at 5 p.m. we have our special meeting, which is the redistricting. Because it's a special meeting, it only requires a 24-hour notice for posting the agenda. So we could, council policy, of course, we could either address it tonight or re-notice
the agenda.
Thursday, when? 5 p.m.
What day?
That's fine.
Thursday.
We'll amend the agenda and repost.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, well, I won't be here. I'm sorry. I got two board meetings that night. But it's okay. You guys can go ahead.
The next option is punt it to January 11th.
I hate to have to choose between Carol and Dave there. How about we move it to January? How about we call it then? Is that all right?
I'm good with that as well. That's fine.
What did you say? I didn't hear
you. We're going to January, so all five of us can be here.
Well, we should probably get it done before the end of the year, because we got all the board appointments. We have all the appointments we got to do.
That will happen in January as well, Mr. Mayor. So why don't we can, I didn't do a nice little package with a bow on it.
What day in January?
January
11th.
Okay, that means Gary gets to be mayor pro tem over the holidays?
That's right.
Okay, that's.
I'm not here.
You're not here on the 11th?
He's not here.
Okay, Thursday.
Come on, council.
Okay, and I'm not here Thursday. Shame on you. Okay, so I'm going to make a motion right now, and then we'll see what happens.
Okay, go ahead, make the motion.
I'm going to make a motion that Mr. Rigoberto Ramirez serve as mayor pro tem for the city of Stanton for the year 2022.
I'll second that.
Thank you.
Madam. All in favor?
Yes.
Any opposed?
No.
Congratulations.
Okay, I do have an announcement, though.
Can we
Yeah, I just want to say that tonight we are going to be recognizing our outgoing Mayor Pro Tem. And before we do that, I just want to tell you that Gary has done an outstanding job being our Mayor Pro Tem, because his availability to fill in for me has been awesome.
It's only twice.
Yeah, but you know what? It was short notice, and you did it, and I appreciate that. And you know, he does a really good and very thorough job as in that leadership role. He brought back the information. He was able to share it with us, and then he also stood up for us at the meeting. So I know it wasn't a lot, but you know, when we all have busy schedules, and for you to take the time to do that, I appreciate it very much. So
it was a fun year.
That being said, I got something really cool.
Oh.
It says, in recognition of outstanding service to the Stanton community and serving as the 2021 Mayor Pro Tem, the City Council of the City of Stanton does hereby officially commend Mayor Pro Tem Gary Taylor for his dedication and commitment to the citizens of Stanton. The Stanton City Council further commends Mayor Pro Tem Gary Taylor in supporting the community of Stanton in its continued growth, progress, and success in providing excellent public service, which attains a high quality of life for all its citizens. Therefore, on behalf of myself and my fellow council members, we're going to present this to you.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, well, let's all stand up and get a picture with Gary. Come on.
It's only been 3 hours.
I can barely get up after 3 hours.
I'm accident.
Okay.
Down here?
We have to stop meeting like this. I hope you guys know this.
Okay, let's go down there.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. No report.
City manager, please.
Nothing to report tonight. Great tree lighting ceremony event last Friday. I'm getting my dates confused.
Thursday.
Great event. We do have Thursday's redistricting hearing here, 5 p.m. And then I'd like to turn it over to Senia to announce Santa Siren.
Thank you. Good evening, council members. Thank you again. Last Thursday, we had a wonderful event. The rain cooperated. We were so grateful that so many families came out, way more than we, I think, have had in the past and expected. I do want to give credit to Supervisor Ashley Kane, who did a wonderful job marketing the event, and a sequence of holiday activities leading up to that. We are going to highlight all the different giveaway programs we did. Thank you again, Mayor, for helping us with Rodeo 39, CARE, OCFA, OCSD. With that toy drive, we do have the big Santa Siren coming up this Sunday. We have 5 sites. There are usual sites. We're happy to be back again without a drive-through. The schedules are up on the dais for you. We'd be happy to have you. We have a full day of volunteers and cheer and breakfast, lunch, and tons and tons of happy kids. So everybody is invited to join in the fun. Thank you.
Thank you, Zidia. And please let your staff know all the great work we've done over the holidays. It's been greatly appreciated. Okay, Chief. This is the last day that I get to ask you to say something as your boss, because my term as chair of the OCFA ends in the end of January. So you're at it. Go.
Sorry, we'll be missing you. Again, yeah. Thank you for all your input and
tell the union
passion, right? thank you very much. Here for Chief Petro, and just again, Chabra Mayor Pro Tem Taylor, some members, staff. My pleasure to provide you our report for November and actually December city. As far as emergency response, I've been happy to report that there were no major incidents. City is time. This is with all volumes up on a basis. We're excited to talk about some of the station events that we've been involved with the last 2 months. Back on November 1st, our fire community collections had supervised from NERA, involved with a fire station at Stanton Community Center. Additionally, on the 8th of November, most recently here this month on the 9th, early in the day, we had the opportunity to co-host with the sheriffs here, active shooter up to city staff. Sheriff, do a great job. That evening then as well, we got to participate in Santa Claus. That was a great six. And again, it's been mentioned a few times, but just this past Sunday, thank you for some of those pictures that were forwarded. I got the themselves. As far as for a city, our safety message, one of the biggest things I'd like to remind the community about, but things that we do see during this time, Christmas trees and live Christmas trees, keep listed areas. Seen some at the past, out big second, some I and security. Lives possible. Remind people, and then obviously. This time that completes my report. If you have any questions.
If you would please let Captain Chris and the crew know how much we appreciated him being there on Saturday. You know, the kids had a great time. They got a lot of pictures. They got a lot of hats, a lot of comic books. So good. It worked out really well. Next year, we're going to get even more presents. So it's going to be a fun time. But we know that you... you guys have always worked really well in our community, especially with Santa Siren, but also working with the toy drive that we have going on now. So
it's been
if
our
you
pleasure,
please
sir.
Thank everyone.